Day 52. We are in the book of Colossians today. We're in chapters 1 and 4.
So, chapter 1, Colossians is a great letter that he writes to the church. And part of the letter in Colossians is meant to remind and encourage the people about the freedom they have in Christ. They are free from religion. They are now unified together in Christ, and they've been made new, and they're under a new covenant and all of these things. And he starts the letter just with this reminding them, one, about how awesome the gospel is, right? He says, I, and he's not just talking here. He's saying, like, I love, right, the fact that I got to preach to you the gospel. And I love the fact that I'm hearing about your faith and how strong it is and how it's growing. And I, all of the evidences of your faith, we're hearing about them and we love it. And so he just continues and he says, hey, since we've heard about you, we're praying for you. We're asking God to fill you with knowledge and wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Why? So that you can live a life worthy. And he just goes into this whole dialogue. And then I love this in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him, all things were created. There's this picture that Paul is just affirming for us what this gospel is about. Mm-hmm. This gospel is about God becoming flesh, right? He says, Jesus is your physical picture of who the invisible God is, right? He is God himself in flesh in the second person of the Trinity. And, you know, this whole, it's this grand theological statement. God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him he reconciles the whole earth to himself through the cross. And you used to be alienated from God, but now you're brought close to God. Why? Because of what Jesus accomplished. So part of this, when we say, oh, Colossians is about freedom from religion, it's this idea that Christ is our sufficiency. We still participate in religious things. We still do those. But Paul's going to great lengths to say Jesus is the Son of God. He is God in flesh, God incarnate, and he is sufficient. And he is the one that is making all things new. Not you and things that you do, but he is doing that. And so, I love this letter for that reason, in chapter 1 especially. And then when you get to chapter 4... Paul starts to talk about, he gives like, what does he call them? Further instructions. And I love the way it starts. Devote yourselves to prayer. We read that and we're like, okay, pray. But he says, no, devote yourselves to prayer. Be devoted, watchful, and thankful. Pray for us, right? What for, Paul? How could we pray for you? About the gospel. Right? Pray about the gospel, that there'll be open doors that we can proclaim. Whenever you read about the mystery of Christ, you're reading that that's gospel, right? The mystery of Christ is that he came to usher in a new covenant. It's like the whole Old Testament is pointing to this moment where Christ will come. That's the great mystery that's been revealed, is that it was all about Jesus. And he says, I'm in chains for this. I'm in jail, but what am I praying for? Pray that I'll still have windows and opportunities to share. And then he tells us in this, he's like, that's how you're praying for me, but don't waste it yourself. And that's the transition he makes when he says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. What does he say that? I think verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, like seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It's this idea, right? That you are always on mission. There is no downtime for you. There's no time for you to go act like a Yahoo and say, oh, well, I wasn't trying to be a Christian right
now.
Yeah,
took my Christian hat off.
Right? But no, Paul's saying, like, you're always, always, this is who you are. And you're always looking for an opportunity. And you never waste it. Be wise in this. And let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. I look at that as this marriage of, we talked about this in our regular podcast today, this marriage of grace and truth. mm-hmm. right? This coming together of both. And then, of course, he ends the letter with, he always ends with, right, greetings, right? Like, hey, I've got people with me that love you, and they're saying hello, and I want you to greet these people for me. And this person sends their greeting. Mm-hmm. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, sends his greeting. I love the fact that Mark's in there, right? Because mm-hmm. you go back to Acts, and Paul has a big problem with Barnabas, and Mark is the reason. He didn't think Mark was serious enough, mm-hmm. but Mark proved himself, and Paul gave mm-hmm. him another opportunity, obviously, at some point.
They reconciled,
And now it's, and mm-hmm. so he's like, hey, Mark greets you because he's with me working hard here. Luke, the doctor, and here's an interesting thing, because we're going to talk about him in a couple of days, right? Right now it's Demas. It says, Luke, the doctor, and Demas send you greetings. And we're going to talk about Demas when we get to Timothy, because something happens with him, and that'll be interesting. He's a footnote, but he's an interesting footnote. Mm-hmm. So, but no, Colossians, a great letter, all about how we are good and set together, set in Christ, and he has taken care of our needs.